percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
It's just happening so fast. We're in February. Valentine's is coming up. Well, like, that's not one I really celebrate a lot of, but I will take chocolate, yes. Yeah. Did you see the launch this week? Elon Musk with the big, you know, car in the sky, monster rocket, the Tesla Roadster. I like the don't panic on the inside. The view. Wow. That was just, somebody did I think Twitter had the little feed of E.T. going across the moon and then Tesla over the earth. Okay, the deal is, that makes it even cooler, is somebody, I love it. I always go to find out if there was anything extra, you know, like with the moon, the blue moon recently, somebody caught a UFO, kind of something like that. Well, they got a UFO fleet, supposedly, near the Tesla Roadster in space. How cool is that? You know, they can't wait for these cameos. The UFOs just hang out there and wait. Okay, they're finally looking up. That's cell phone addiction. So that one, okay, and I'm going to post these links on Wendy's Coffee House. But that one I thought was, it looks interesting. Who knows what it is out there? It's really hard to judge distance and all that. When you die, you're going to live as a robot. Okay, memories are data. And data can be uploaded to some kind of little bot, all right? This one looks cute. It could be a worse bot, but this one happens to look kind of cute and cuddly on the Daily Beast. And the thing is that everybody wants to, you know, it's difficult losing somebody, and everybody would like to be remembered. So in 2015, somebody who lost somebody else, the names are not important because I can't pronounce them. She tried to figure out how to memorialize her friend, and so she created a robot with a bunch of text messages and social media posts. And so the thing is, they were kind of communicating, and there you go. And once you're dead, they can't tell you, or you don't get to tell them what happens. But this is a fascinating subject, and since I don't have time to get into it, I just want to let you know that if you are a death phobic, then there might be a way for you to live on without being a brain in a jar. The lab cloning pets. Now, you probably heard about this a few years back, about the possibility that they had already done this. But now there is a lab that will clone your pets for you. And they say it's not an exact replica. Imagine that. But it will look the same, and $50,000. So would you do it? No. But that's what's happening. And yes, there are people who say yes. And I see, this is the best thing about the internet. There's no way I would get access to all these fabulous stories. And the new game of the moment, Vampires and Unicorns, which was funded by the Kickstarter campaign in March 2017. It's a floor war game. Okay. Card throwing tile game. This looks like fun. And the pictures, well, yeah. A cryptozoologist would be proud. Speaking of that, my guest coming up has a movie coming out, a documentary on some very well-known cryptozoologists who get no respect but have been doing this for years just because they know they can, and it's out there. It is out there somewhere, some way, shape, or form. There are too many, and some of them, I love it in the film, one of the guys, I don't know, Lauren Coleman, I'm not sure, one of the guys said that, look, this is how we found certain animals that were thought to be extinct. This isn't an effort in futility. So there you go. And in the meantime, though, another sighting of something that we think is unusual. And they've had sightings of these big birds lately. Had Margie Kay in here about the big birds recently sighted in Kansas City. Here's another one. I think North Carolina was the other one. But again, another sighting, the Thunderbird. These guys, they're so big that the wingspan, if it flies over you, it covers the car. They don't know what it is, and they've been saying, no, these are not leftover dinosaurs. That just no matter what you say and how big they are, it's not a leftover dinosaur. It's an optical delusion. Well, okay, but they keep seeing them. Brad Abrahams has done something family, I think, fantastic. The movie is out now, documentary. You can see it. And it's called Love and Saucers. And this is a very unusual, this is the first time we really get to follow along with somebody who's an experiencer, who's had up close and personal encounters with ETs, aliens. And I just saw a couple more documentaries in the last, doing my homework, that they mention the eyes. And there's something unique about the eyes. And when these folks are giving their demonstrations, they are not connected to, that I know of, to David Huggins, the guy who's featured in this documentary. But they are mentioning something that is, I think, a very significant, an element that when you have these experiences, you start, there are little hallmarks, little things that say, aha, a tag. Yep, that's it. That's connected. So I'm going to ask about that as we get into the interview. But he's been gracious enough to sit here and listen to my headlines because he's a good guy. And so, Brad, thank you. I'm so glad to talk with you because I think you had a phenomenal topic to cover, for one thing. Brad Abrahams, the documentary filmmaker, this is out now. You can watch it, Love and Saucers. Hi, Brad.
Hi, and thanks for the intro, Wendy.
Okay, the next one I saw was the preview for Cryptozoologist, and I thought that one looks really good, too, the trailer for that. So just to, you know, while we've got everybody's attention, this isn't just a one-shot thing. You do other films as well.
Exactly, yeah. I got a couple in the pipeline.
How did you get connected with David?
Well, I heard of his story years ago listening to a now-forgotten podcast. I think they were interviewing a hypnotherapist or a therapist who sees people who have had abduction experiences or think they have. Mm-hmm. And he was going through a list of his cases, and one of them that he threw out as like even too ridiculous for him to consider was this guy, David Huggins, who claims he fathered, you know, hundreds of space babies across the galaxy. And as soon as he said that, I, you know, perked up in my seat and was like, I've got to seek this guy out. Is he a real person? Does he really believe this? How can he believe this? What's his story? And then I found I couldn't find anything about him. He had no internet presence. I knew he existed, but I actually had to track down a former neighbor of his to get his landline phone number and give him a call.
I was going to say, that's the thing about this. It's like he would be very obscure. The first I had ever heard of this was, again, doing a search and doing my UFO stuff, finding out that there was a new, I think it was a something about, you know, the odd documentaries, and it came up on the sideline. I thought, okay, this is interesting. And then I love the fact that you went and spent time with him and really did an, I think, service by not making a judgment, just allowing him to present his information.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the goal, because, you know, it'd be easy on one hand to be the cynic and sort of make fun, and then it'd be easy on the other hand to be the true believer and be completely in his camp and, you know, almost like a propaganda piece, like a lot of UFO films are. So I wanted to go sort of smack in the middle of that and let the guy just tell his story.
And it's won several awards.
Yeah, it's at some film festivals. We won a few awards, which I'm really, you know, grateful for, because I know it's such a niche, odd film, but it seems to strike a chord in at least a few people so far.
Did you do the Philip K. Dick Film Festival?
No, we were actually invited, but there was a conflict, so we couldn't do it. We would have loved to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just that's one where I have seen some really decent topics covered. The other thing too is why we're going to take a break. I don't want to get into this too. We're going to get into it in the next break. But if you're listening, loveandsaucers.com, and it's SAUCERS, just in case. and love, LOVE. Well, you know, why not? So my guest is the documentary director for the film, and David Huggins is the guy who's the experiencer. And as you listen, you're going to find out David had an up-close and personal encounter for numerous years with ETs. And the best thing is he's an artist. He draws, paints, creates images and photos of the ETs. And that's fascinating. So stick around. We're going to come back and talk Love and Saucers with my guest, Brad Abrahams, here on Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. My guest, Brad Abrahams, filmmaker. If you have heard anything about this, you're lucky. If you haven't, get ready. This is a really interesting, fascinating, unique story about an experiencer where you actually get details and you get pictures, you get the whole nine yards that help flesh out what it would be like to be in contact and having ongoing encounters with ETs. Now, this doesn't mean this, you know, these are the only ETs out there, but with David Huggins, he has a very, very detailed description and experience. And so when you approached him, what was his initial response about wanting to do a documentary?
He was surprisingly open. You know, he said, you know, I think it's the right time. And I guess he could tell I was coming from a genuine place. And, you know, we had tons of just hours and hours of sort of pre-interviews just via the phone that I would record. So I think, you know, he knew I was being genuine and I'd be respectful.
Well, and that comes across. That comes across. He seems very comfortable and just very nonchalant and genuine in his presentation. What was it like when he started, I mean, for you, because this had to be off the deep end.
Yeah, and it's one thing to, like, you know, read or hear about it, but it's another thing to hear it coming from his own mouth, and especially contrasted to, I mean, when you meet this guy, you just think, like, what is, like, a sort of sweet, normal, down-to-earth, older man. And that's everyone that meets him. So juxtapose that with then saying, oh, hey, I lost my virginity to an alien woman, and it almost doesn't compute. So I think that's what I hoped to have come across in the film.
Well, and that's especially when you're looking at the movie posters. Okay, there's no. This is in your face, front and center. If you don't know what the film's about after seeing the poster, then okay, I'm sorry, wrong planet. But I think that was intentional, was it not?
Exactly. Yeah, and also, you know, I very specifically started the film, like, the very first line is almost the most out there line in the whole film, because I thought if I could open with that and sort of shock and hook people with that, you know, the idea that he lost his virginity, then I could spend the whole film trying to sort of win back the audience into actually considering that this could have happened, just by the fact that David himself presents it in such a, like, matter-of-fact way, and hearing people talk about David, his friends and relatives and outsiders, sort of then create this picture of him as a very believable, trustworthy, honest guy.
How did he first start remembering this?
It was actually, you know, he had inklings and memories and impressions of these things ever since they started happening, but they didn't become concrete and vivid until they were triggered. And they were triggered by the Bud Hopkins book Intruders, and a very, very specifically one chapter in that book called Other Women, Other Men, which is sort of a collection of people's erotic encounters with aliens. And as soon as he started reading it, he said hundreds of these memories started just flooding back to him one by one, you know, relentlessly. And then shortly after that, he got the okay from these beings to paint the encounters as his way to both deal with it and communicate it.
Now, did he have to ask permission to get, you know, them to sign off on this documentary?
He didn't ask permission to be in the documentary, but interestingly enough, they gave the film, you know, their thumbs up, apparently, to David. So it may be the first film that's been endorsed by ETs.
Okay, and looking at the videos, it does seem that they do have thumbs.
Yes, yeah, they do.
That part is just fascinating. And like I said, I was doing some research, seeing other films and hearing other stories. And the thing about the cobalt eyes,
yes,
that is significant.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And not just cobalt, but I think, like, you know, the shape of them as well. And that's one thing that the professor at Rice University of Comparative Religious Studies, the first thing he thought of and brought up was, these are also how people describe the eyes of Kali, the Hindu mythology. When they have visions of Kali, mm-hmm, they look exactly like that. And he showed, you know, sort of side-by-side photos. So I think that the shape and the color of these eyes is something that's been, like, in our unconscious for millennia.
Now, what did you, when you consulted other professionals about David and whether he would be a sound, you know, and a coherent kind of person to document, because you do have to watch out what you get involved in with these kinds of things. What was the advice?
I didn't do that before I started talking to him. I you know, made my own judgment call by doing, like, an experimental first visit with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then hearing Jeffrey Kripal, you know, basically say, this very renowned professor, say, you know, I believe David, and I believe people like David, because so many people have these experiences, not just in modern times, but going back thousands of years in the form of, like, mystical experiences or sacred experiences. So that felt like some support and validation.
Well, and I've seen, there was, I believe he's in Spain, an artist who said he was approached by ETs. They don't look anything like this, but he started drawing them, and he has some incredible sculptures that are just beautiful. They are incredibly unique. They don't look anything like this, but his only way to basically validate it was then to do the art and say, this is what they look like, this is my experience. And if you're listening and you're doing more research about this thing, if there are lots of different stories, but some of them are more compelling because they have, like David's experience, a timeline. And now this, for the marriage, was that kind of what had them go separate ways the first time he said, by the way, I need to come clean with this?
Yeah, and I think they had been having problems that I think were due to David not being able to, like, understand and integrate the experience before he really understood what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he finally, you know, his ex-wife is probably, you know, she sees there's problems, they're experiencing problems, and then when your significant other says the source of those problems are 100 alien abductions, including sex and fathering babies, I would think that would be the last straw for a lot of people. So I actually understand where she was coming from and saying, like, you know, I can't do this anymore. And then there's also the fact that, you know, you're saying you're having romantic encounters with someone else, another woman, if she's alien or not.
Yeah, he could have just said, there's another woman, all right, and left it at that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, fine, I can understand that. But it's like, oh my, you're really taking this to the nth degree. If it's that difficult, then I don't know how she would have been able to, at first glance or at first hearing of the story, I can just imagine she's like, uh-oh, this is not going
to
end well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think then it's a testament to David, and I think her as well, that they actually, like, shortly after that, she moved back in.
Mm-hmm.
And they to this day, 20 years after being divorced, are still living together, just as friends, but, living together. So she still doesn't, I don't think, believe that this happened to him or believes in aliens at all, but mm-hmm, she at least would believe he's, like, a good guy and not crazy.
I like that. Yeah. I was glad to hear that, because that didn't, it was like, oh my gosh, it didn't end. It was like, yay, because I believe him too. I there's John Mack, the stuff that's happened over the last 40 years, these encounters worldwide are worth bringing to light. So we're going to take a break here. I want to come back and talk about the other part of this, where he says he has fathered not just one, two, 20, hundreds, lots of babies, and why, and what that would be about. And so, again, we're talking with Brad Abrahams, and he's the filmmaker The movie is called Love and Saucers. You can see it now. We'll get back with details on Wendy's Coffee House Talk Radio, KCMO. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Got your coffee. You can do tea if you want. Did you hear tea helps you get over the flu? Well, they did a study. It was on mice. And that the tea and wine, maybe not in that combination.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yes. I needed that last week.
Yeah, Martel was out. He was down for the count. So we had to have a stunt producer. And I'm glad to see you're back.
Yes, I didn't know all I needed was wine.
Well, okay, in increments.
Don't
go overboard. Yeah, yeah. But they still have to confirm the studies on humans. But I thought, okay, well, there's hope. The light at the end of the tunnel, and it's green tea. All right, so something in those are very, very helpful. We'll find out if, now that the mice have recovered from the flu, we'll see if people can too. My guest, Brad Abrahams, and he is a documentary filmmaker. Some fascinating, fascinating information in the film Love and Saucers. It's available now. I've seen the film, and you can YouTube, Vimeo, get out there. It's so convenient. Watch it in your home. Don't have to leave the house. I also previewed Cryptozoologist, and this one looks like a fascinating. It was a teaser. It's not out just yet, but it's a film about following people who track things like maybe Mothman or the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, or Loch Ness Monster, or Nessie, and saying that there's a reason we track these things. It's because somewhere out there, there is something that either resembles it or a reason for tracking. So I'm looking forward to that one. But back to Love and Saucers, David Huggins, 72 years old, has had experiences throughout his life, and also says that he has fathered lots of, hybrids, alien babies?
What? Yeah, hybrids.
Okay. Explain, for one thing, his relationship, and then what it was like finding out that he really does believe that there are his children out there. And the pictures, I love the way he paints them. That helps.
Yeah. So it started between, he described the relationship between him and Crescent, who he called the alien female, very like utilitarian. Like basically she was using him or needed him for sex, and he didn't know why at first. But then over time it became more romantic, and I think he definitely was feeling real, emotions for her, and he thinks she was for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then very soon after that, he discovered that he fathered many babies, dozens or hundreds of them. He came upon these beings in one of their craft, and when he asked whose babies are these, they pointed to him, and he, soon realized they actually had been using his seed for a real purpose, and it was to somehow incubate and create these hybrid human alien babies.
Well, at one point he goes to the post-traumatic stress of the baby died, and he's just very distraught, and they try to console him.
Yeah, it was odd. I mean, at first, they told him the baby, a baby was sick, and he didn't even know that there was a baby. And then they showed him it, and he realized it was his, the one he had with him in Crescent, and he helped them sort of nurse it back to health, and then showed them how to like cradle the babies and nurse the babies, and as if they didn't know. Like how to hold them properly. And then over the years, he saw them, several times and saw them grow up and start to look more and more human and less alien.
You're spending a lot of time with David. I like the fact he's using the I Ching to kind of get a daily read on things.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Did he teach you how to use it?
No, I have like a basic understanding. And when I found out that he did that, I thought that was, a nice touch. Like he also meditates, he does yoga. He's not your typical 75-year-old guy from Hoboken, or that lives in Hoboken. He's found all these different ways to try and integrate his very odd experiences.
Now, did I read correctly? There was somebody who actually went through and tracked down all of the films that he has in his collection. He's like you know, at least 200 or 300, maybe 5 or more of all the...
Yeah, well, yeah. So David's VHS collection, which is a whole other thing to get into, he has over 2,000 science fiction and horror VHS tapes. And someone on the internet who watched the film and enjoyed it, they like kept sort of pausing and rewinding all the shots that had the movies in the background, and they're compiling a list online on the site Letterboxd, and they only have about 70 up there right now.
Oh, my. Okay.
They're still working on it.
Okay. Well, that was fascinating, too, because I was doing the same thing as I'm watching. Okay, what movie does he have? What film does he have? Are these the scary ones, or are these the campy ones? Which, you know, just wondering how that would have impacted. I tell you what, these experiences blow your reality for one thing, and then you start looking for other ways to kind of validate it and become more comfortable with getting out of that lockstep mode of this is reality, because especially when you're looking at him going, he knows there is another reality, and whether people get it or not, it's not going to change his experience.
Exactly.
What? How did it impact you? Did you start searching for more films like that, or are you now interested in more content like that as a filmmaker?
It was more, you mean just the whole experience of the film itself or his collection?
Of him. Well, of the whole thing. The whole thing.
The whole thing. Well, it actually made, what it did for me was enrich my understanding of ourselves, of humans, of how weird we are, how little we understand ourselves, and the way our mind works and integrates experiences. So I'm fascinated by UFOs and disclosure and all that, but it's not my passion, you know, finding like evidence and doing investigations and poring over sightings photos. It's more about what it means on an individual level. And that's why, the film is, it's about a person. It's about, you know, a person's experience.
About us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's my thing, too, because, you know, you can get into that off the deep end very quickly and become obsessed. But what I find so extraordinary is piecing together the puzzles of the people who are experiencers and how some of those dovetail, and then others just go off, you know, on a tangent, a whole different direction, but they're still relevant. And that took me on to looking at the film that you had, Cryptozoologist. You know, this is it's they're looking for tangible, concrete, hard proof that these things are real, where the ET stuff, there's that hard proof isn't, this is David's experience. My question, did he have any experiences or any kind of sense that there was contact while you guys were doing the documentary?
No. Not in the classical, like, abduction sense, in his older age, he hasn't had these vivid waking, like, sort of hard reality experiences of his youth. They're more now impressions and dreamlike experiences. And the one that he had was what I mentioned, where they said, you know, we support the documentary and that you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. He doesn't have like full on experiences anymore. And that's much to his chagrin, because he'd actually love if they still visited him.
Well, the connection, emotional link there of this is a relationship.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to take a break here real shortly, but I want to get back into, you've taken this on tour, and what the response, I would like to ask how people, you know,
for sure,
what the response is to this, because I think it'd be fun. Anyway, so we are talking with the director, producer, coordinator, filmmaker, jack of all trades, behind the film Love and Saucers, Brad Abrahams. Back in a few here on KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. I love the fact that every day it's different. No matter what you think or where you are or what's happening, if you just open your mind and say, what next? What next? And then you see things differently and take a different route to work, talk to different people, break the routine. And when you do that, there are so many wonderful things that are just waiting to be discovered. And this was one of those, and I don't even remember how I found it, but it was just one of those that, oh my gosh, I've got to interview this guy. And not necessarily David, because his story speaks for itself, David Huggins, who's the subject of the movie Love and Saucers, but the person who decided to bring this to light – and create a film so people could experience David's world in a way that they could say, well, maybe, maybe not, no way. But one way or the other, it gets out there. And so Brad Abrahams, my guest, also does other films. I wanted to ask real quickly, you've taken this on tour. It's gotten some accolades. And definitely, it's one of those things that you're not going to forget it. Once you see the poster of that, okay, there it is, aliens and babies and people. What next?
Yeah, so, oh, sorry for cutting you off.
No, you're fine.
The responses were really fascinating because we took it basically across the country. And so each city and each like region of the country has a different kind of audience. So like in Austin, Texas, for example, at like a genre film festival, everyone's really into it and they get it and, you know, they're along for the ride. But then Provo, Utah, you've got people are shocked.
They were frightened.
exactly. Oh, no. So I'd say it was all like good, but different. And
yeah.
But what was consistent was most people would go in thinking, I'm going to see like a wacky movie about a wacky, probably crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they come out and they would come up to me and say, you know, I thought I was going to see this sort of like exploitative, funny, weird film, but I'm actually now completely reconsidering my whole thoughts on the subject because David seems like such a credible, believable guy. Maybe I don't believe in like alien abductions, but I believe him. And now what does that mean? So I think that was the job I set out to do. And it seems like that was successful. And then we also had, in a few different cities, people in the audience say, hey, I saw a UFO or I had an abduction experience, and they felt sort of comfortable in like a big setting like that to talk about it.
Absolutely. I think that's a lot of what this is about, too, is when there's some kind of empathy or sympathetic response. And then in other ways, there is like, oh, my gosh, this may have happened. And you never know. The other thing, we're running out of time, but I wanted to also give you a plug for some of your other work, too. The Back of the Tiger. That was the one about this is not UFO related. And that's the thing. You're not just UFO paranormal stuff. Go ahead and give people a chance to connect with you.
Yeah, so it's not paranormal related, but I think it's, you know, the relation is in critical thinking and not accepting convention just for convention's sake. So it's just a film that lays bare the flaws in our medical and scientific establishments and, you know, asks, why have we made such little progress when treating and understanding chronic diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis? You know, it's been decades and very little progress has actually been made. And the reason is because of all these endemic problems and how we do science and egos and, you know, money and pharma and all of this. So we try and expose that, but also come up with ideas on how to make a better system. And we highlight these real sort of forgotten heroes of science and medicine that have been marginalized because of their unpopular views and ideas. No pseudoscience at all, has nothing to do with this film, but it's very easy to challenge the establishment and then be completely erased from the establishment.
Well, and that, I think that's part of it, because you're not going along with the lockstep, the program that's already been signed off on and validated for, you know, through whatever circles that were acceptable. That's the thing. It's tough when you have to get peer-reviewed studies published in certain magazines, and then you get locked out of the system for whatever reason. And that's not fair to the public.
Exactly. Yeah. And but there are some scientists that seem to have navigated those waters. Like, are you in Seattle?
No, Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. Oh, sorry. They, for some reason, I thought the K was for, that's like the Washington stations, but there's like a famous scientist at University of Washington, Jared Pollock, who discovered water actually has a fourth phase, but beyond solid, liquid, and
yes,
gas.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, sort of revolutionizing how we think about water and water in our body and ourselves. And he's in the film. And so some people are somehow able to navigate the minefield of the establishment, and others aren't for some reason.
Okay, so of that genre, And then this, what's the next step? Where are you headed?
I actually want to make a film about conspiracy culture.
Oh,
both the good and the bad.
Okay, don't get sucked in. All right, don't get sucked in. Please, please, they don't need another one. just keep your eyes on the light and you'll be fine. Well, maybe that could be an alien spaceship too. So, okay. So do you have, is that just the notes right now, or do you actually have a game plan?
Yeah, that's really just in the early stages.
Okay. Okay. Well, hopefully you'll come out the other side.
Yes. I want to navigate because I want to navigate the waters, very stormy waters of hearing out actual, quote unquote conspiracy theorists, but also not falling into that. So being both critical of the establishment, because there are a lot of conspiracy theorists that came true. I mean, the biggest one of all was Edward Snowden.
That's, I think, part of it. If you just navigate how this could be and why, how to stay, I guess, true center without going off one way or the other. How to do critical thinking and to keep your mindset on the, I need to remember that I can't get caught up. That's tough. And it, especially paranormal, that's a good way to start with it, because a lot of times, you get emotionally connected or hooked and then you can't be objective anymore. And once that happens, like if you get afraid or you intimidated, those kind of things, or you have a bias, and that we all do. So that how that plays out in your film will be really helpful. I'm optimistic.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Going back to Love and Saucers, people can see that online, right?
Yes, they can.
Now, is it going
to
be...
They just need to go to loveandsaucers.com, mm-hmm. And that has links for iTunes, Amazon, Vimeo, Google Play, and others. And there's also a physical DVD, if that's your thing.
I saw that on Twitter. Well, I said, oh, we've got them. Yeah. We've got them. Here they are. Look, they're real. Okay. I really appreciate your time. And I think, for one thing, this had to have been a very fun thing. And David seems like a really sweet and genuine person. So I'm glad he's comfortable enough to tell his story and let the chips fall where they do. Brad Abrahams, and your site is it bradabrahams.net?
Yeah, bradabrahams.net. And then the film, loveandsaucers.com. Oh, and I just wanted to mention, if people are interested in a print of David's paintings, we're selling several of those. And you can actually buy an original if you live in New York or Hoboken and you want to go to his house.
Okay. Oh, that is so cool. See, he's just a real guy. He's just a real guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So one way or the other, the truth is out there and it's closer than you think. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you so much.
All right. And I will put links on Wendy's Coffee House, the blog spot. All right. So if you missed any of this.
Yeah.
We'll back it up on the blog, and they can check it out there too. Thank you for listening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever time it is. Remember, there is a lot more going on than we can see, and fortunately, more than we can think. So we just have to expand all that, and know that anything's possible. All right, except for the conspiracy theories. Okay, fine. Just cross the line. So, again, the links are going to be on Wendy's Coffee House. And thank you to Phyllis Galdi from Species Link. Remember, we did the interview with her on Fate Magazine. I sent a little article to her, and she sent me the magazine so I could see it. This is the Journal of Interspecies Telepathic Communication. Yeah, they're listening to us, too. Believe me, they know more than we think. Till next time, stay curious. See ya. Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio.